Welcome to Your Company Health Podcast, where we highlight the success stories of entrepreneurs and business professionals. With your hosts, Andre Wright, CEO and founder of The Wright Consult, and Anne-Marie Gilio, CEO and founder of Core Matters.
Thanks much for joining us today. I'm your host, Andre Wright, with co-host Anne-Marie Gilio. Hey, Anne-Marie.
Hey, Andre.
We have a fantastic show lineup today. You know, I love great success stories. And our guest today, he's a success story. And I know the audience, you guys are going to like what you're hearing today. He's a best-selling author, speaker, business growth strategist, mindset coach, and personal finance expert, Ike Ikoku. Hey, Ike.
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me on the show, you and Anne-Marie. I appreciate spending some time with you guys today.
It's a pleasure. Can you tell us a bit about your background and how you started?
Sure. So I am originally from Lagos, Nigeria, in West Africa. Came to the United States in 1988 because my parents had in the cards for us to get our formal education from either Europe or the United States. For those of you who don't know, we're colonized by the British, so my parents actually got their advanced degrees in England and always knew that they'd send us off somewhere to do this. And so mid-80s, my dad's getting his import-export business off the ground. He's a lawyer by trade, but been in business all his life. Mom's an accountant, figured it was a good time to kind of ship all three kids and my mom here to the U.S. to work on getting our formal education. And so got here, finished up high school, got into the workforce, started off as an accountant working for the big six accounting firms. And as I did that, I've always been a student of money all my life. It started way, 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 way back. Give you a quick story. So one of our family traditions growing up is around the Christmas holidays, we'd go back to my grandparents' village and we'd spend Christmas with them. And my grandfather was probably the 19th century version of Warren Buffett. The guy owned petroleum companies, real estate businesses. Yeah, I mean, he set the bar high for us. So education's always been a huge, huge value proposition for us. And so it's Christmas, we'd be in his 3,500 square foot living room, and all the little kids would kind of do show and tell as to how well they did in school that year. And based on how well we did, we would get rewarded with money. As an 8-year-old kid, I wasn't spending my gifts that I got at Christmas on toys or on clothes. I actually took my dad's old briefcase and I turned it into a makeshift bank. So even at the age of 8, I had this relationship with money where it was like I already understood that I needed to save and kind of, you know, prepare for the future. So to end up having an accounting degree and kind of starting out my career in the financial services industry, doing investment, financial planning, eventually business coaching and mentoring and stuff.
It's interesting. So that was just a natural, that was a natural fit for you. You're sort of
it was. It definitely was, yeah. If I were doing anything else, I'd probably be really, really strange for some reason. I don't think I'm wired any differently.
So that's awesome. You're just born to handle money. That's pretty cool. But so what we wanted to talk about today was because we've been lately focusing more on COVID and its effect on business owners, we know you're a business coach, and certainly with that background and your experience combined, you have a lot to offer. We were wondering, do you look for certain, or do you serve a certain size company when you're coaching business owners?
Yeah, so I deal primarily in what I would call the small business owner market. Those are people typically doing under 5 mil, but realistically, most oftentimes they're under that $2 million mark. Mm-hmm. And I serve a lot of people that are just like me. So I coach other coaches, mentors, CPAs, advisors, things of that nature, just because I've walked in their shoes. I've owned an accounting practice. I've done tax and financial planning. I've had an investment advisory business. I've done consulting. I've been a coach. And so I understand their pain very well. But I also understand business. And, you know, what I understand about business is it doesn't matter how good a widget maker you are, right? Everybody, you think about the trajectory of most entrepreneurs. Like most entrepreneurs lick their wounds working for somebody else and feeling like there's this glass ceiling over like what's possible. Like they always have ideas as to how to do things differently, and maybe the boss or the supervisor doesn't necessarily give them the time of day. Eventually they get fed up and it's like, you know what, I'm just going to do this on my own because I know there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
They've got some very unique skill sets, right? Skilled, expertise, technical know-how. They're really good in the art of manufacturing a widget. What most entrepreneurs suck at is on how to market said widget. Because your first job as an entrepreneur is not to be the best widget maker that you can be, it's to be the best marketer of said widgets in order to make that business stream work, right?
You made me think, I was gonna ask you, do you help startups, or do you prefer to work with people who have some history that you can work with?
I work with both. And the reason why I work with both is, as you guys have heard bits and pieces of my story, I've been through the evolution of business, where it is you're launching out, there's three critical phases that I see most small businesses kind of encounter. First, it's the euphoric, I just met the love of my life phase, right? Where it's like, oh, I want to go into business for myself. This is going to be so much fun. I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, you're in love with that.
They get into that first year or two or three. Doesn't matter what it is.
It's that build it and they will come phase, right?
Yeah, build it, they'll come phase, right? Mm-hmm. And soon the entrepreneurial dream turns into a proverbial nightmare, where all these thoughts that they had about what being an entrepreneur was going to look like, a boss is telling you to work overtime, you're like, I ain't about to work no overtime, I got a Bulls game I got to catch, right? Or whatever all that is, I'm like, when I start my business, I'm just going to work 8 hours. As a matter of fact, I work 4 days out of the week and have Fridays off every time, right?
4-hour work week? What is that?
A 4-hour work week. Yeah. Soon, if they're only working 14 hours a day, they consider that to be a light day at the office. Soon they realize, call it 60, 100, it doesn't matter what they were making as an employee. Being able to replicate that as an entrepreneur isn't that easy. So that first phase is trying to get past the temptation to go, I give up, please hire me back. I made a mistake, right? So trying to get to 6 figures, right? A very, very difficult phase. Yeah. Next phase for them is maybe they crack 6 figures and they start thinking about, man, it sure would be nice to, you know, be able to do more than 6 figures. But because they're stuck in this concept or perception that to grow, you got to work harder, because now they're doing those 14-hour days and maybe they're getting to 6 figures. So to get from 6 to multi-6 in their mind is, I don't have 28 hours a day to dedicate to this business. And so that's another mindset shift that needs to be.
Which that raises another question for me. I was going to ask you about territory, if you had a geography that you like to stay within, but I'm realizing that it could also be a mental territory that you like to work with, I mean, or be in with people. Can you talk to either of those?
Yeah, one of the beauties of what I do now versus what I used to do before is I'm actually global, right? Mm-hmm. Back when I had a financial services company, due to the limitations of my license, I only could serve customers, clients that were in Georgia, right? Because I was a registered investment advisor in Georgia. And so very, very harsh restrictions on my service area.
Exactly, yeah.
When I lost my investment advisory license and my whole world came crashing down on me and I didn't know what life was going to be, and I had to envision what life would look like post doing the stuff that I knew I had been doing for the past multiple decades, one of the many benefits of focusing on coaching and consulting is what COVID is kind of bringing to the forefront right now. It's the fact that there are no real limits to what you can do as a business, that you've got to be flexible enough to be able to serve people virtually, right? Because COVID is forcing you to do that.
Yeah.
And so I have clients in just about every state. I have clients in Canada. I've done work with people internationally. And that's only been as a result of not being short-sighted as to the level of influence and impact that I can have with what I've been called to do.
And that's why, you know, I think you're really unique in the coaching space, because based on our discussion before, I know that you're versed in many other areas. So can you tell our listeners, you know, what are your certifications in other areas, and what's your professional background like?
Yeah, so I started off in accounting and quickly became licensed as a certified public accountant. Worked in that industry for several years. As I got into it, I realized that I liked the tax planning aspects of what I did. And more importantly, I liked the personal financial planning aspects. Mm. And so I got certifications as a certified financial planner. I got a master's degree in personal financial planning. Eventually, I added on insurance licenses and investment advisory licenses to kind of continue down that path. And then as I evolved from a pure focus on financial planning and tax planning, I started my business and I started doing comprehensive financial and tax planning. And I was working with a company that was doing turnaround type work for small businesses, companies that were hurting and needed to go from, you know, $500,000 or $1 million to 2 to 3, but didn't know how to do that, right? They'd come in and spend time educating them on what it really looked like to be an entrepreneur. So through osmosis and kind of hanging around those consultants and understanding what they were doing, there was a lot of stuff that I was catching. Like, some things are caught, other things are taught, right? So when you hang around certain people, you just catch certain things. So I was always in those conversations and seeing what they were doing. And my subconscious mind was like taking notes as to some of what they were working on. And so I acquired skill sets just through the gift of association. And so all of that was kind of buried in me. And then when I went through the very traumatic shift from, hey, you can't be an investment advisor anymore because you're being held responsible for actions that you weren't primarily responsible for, I had to shift and pivot. And as I shifted and pivoted and started working on consulting and coaching with business owners, a lot of those skill sets came to fruition. And yeah, it allowed me to take my financial, my tax, all the struggles of being in business for myself, understanding that you've got to be a marketer first, understanding human nature. And so now today I swim in three very specific lanes. One, as a business growth strategist, helping companies add $100,000 or more in revenues in 6 to 12 months. Two, as a mindset coach, because I know that as great as some of the strategies are that I bring to bear for my clients, the biggest impact in their life always revolves around their mindset. You can give anybody the best strategies in the world, but if they've got a lousy or a jacked up mindset, they will self-sabotage in anything that you're trying to help them to do. So I focus in there with my clients as well. And then lastly, I'm a personal finance expert because, hey, it's an 8-year-old kid saving money, right? I mean, that stuff doesn't disappear necessarily.
So that skill set that you bring it to the table must be particularly useful now during COVID. So what have you observed in your own clients and their businesses since COVID-19 lockdown has been in effect? Like what?
Yeah, and I don't dare minimize the impact that COVID has had, because obviously we've seen loss of life, and there's nothing more precious than a life itself. So that's been very, very impactful to a lot of people. We've seen companies basically shut their doors down, right? Because they just don't know how to weather the storm. We've seen loss of jobs. We've seen.
Yeah. I just saw today Starbucks is shutting 400 stores in North America and Canada. 400.
That's incredible.
But the truth of the matter is this: a lot of the challenges that business owners are facing today, there are a lot of the same challenges that they were facing before. COVID is just magnifying and heightening that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the three biggest problems that every business owner faces is what I call the triple D syndrome.
I was going to ask you about that.
The triple D syndrome.
I was wondering if COVID had changed, if you thought COVID had changed any of that. So go ahead and explain that.
Yeah, so every business owner suffers from not being discovered, not being differentiated, and not being distinguished in what they do. So let me break each one of those down. So being discovered is being visible at a point in time when people actually need your services. I'll give you an example. There's a member that's a member of my mastermind group who shares a story of having suffered something I'd never heard about until she introduced me to this, but it's called a frozen shoulder. And all you need to know about that is, have you had that? You know what that is?
Okay. I've had clients who've had that, yeah.
So if you've ever experienced a migraine, like 100x of that pain, it's that bad. So she went through like 7 years of just repeated pain without being able to get any relief, spending tons and tons of money going from one physician to another. It wasn't until a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend introduced her to this particular doctor that he completely changed the trajectory of her pain. But it took her 7 years and thousands of dollars later to find the person who could significantly alter the course of her health. Mm-hmm. For a lot of entrepreneurs, we're like that physician. We've got the secret sauce. We've got the skills, we've got the knowledge, we've got the expertise, but when the people who most desperately need our services are looking for us, we're nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. So bar none, the first thing every business owner has to learn how to do is to make sure that they overcome being undiscovered. You've got to be discovered by those who need.
And COVID is making that so much harder now. So how, or is it? I mean, what do you see? Is it easier?
I think COVID is creating some incredible opportunities for creating wealth and gaining more market share because you've got attention. Attention used to be a commodity that was fleeting, mm-hmm. where you could not even get anybody's attention. Mm-hmm. Now, because we've been forced to strategically and intentionally slow down, if you've already created a personal brand around who you are, what you do that's unique and different, mm-hmm. that's based off of a clarity about the purpose that you have, about the tangible impact and influence you're supposed to have out here in the world, and you've identified a show. If you think about any famous person out there, Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, it doesn't matter who it is. If you think about them and you go, why do you know these people? It's because they had their own show. Their own show could have been simply the Oprah Winfrey show, or it could have been being on television for 6 months out of the year playing basketball, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. It could have been on football. It doesn't matter where they were, but you got to know about them because some form of media constantly put them in front of you. So if you've established a clear brand and you've identified a media where you can take your show on the road, when people who need your services in the midst of a pandemic are looking for people who have solutions to the problems that they are currently dealing with, i.e., I'm about to go out of business, is there somebody out there who can show me how to grow my business in the midst of what could go down as one of the greatest recessions in our country? Mm-hmm. If you're being visible and that message is clear and people see that, are you going to be suffering from this pandemic or is your business going to be thriving?
Yeah.
And that's very important, Ike. And you even touched on this in how your career evolved in terms of shift and mindset. And that's critical right now because a lot of people, you know, we're in this pandemic and we said, hey, what we should do, things are just not going well. But if we have the mindset to pivot and shift and look at how we can, you know, we can gain new opportunities in this moment, in this crisis, you know, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, is that, do you think that's the biggest obstacle? I mean, what do you think is the biggest obstacle to people right now, business owners right now, especially the ones who aren't your clients? Is it, you know, in COVID, is it mindset? Is that the obstacle or is there something else?
Yeah, I mean, everything always comes back to mindset, right? I give you an example. You've got two people who grew up in what you'd consider to be very, very difficult situations, right? Maybe they had an alcoholic father who was never there, who was never present in their lives. All they ever saw was him coming home drunk, maybe violating their mother, you know, physically beating them, not being that steady guiding force that they needed. And so as a result of their present circumstances, they forge a mindset about what their life is going to look like. So you fast forward 20 years, you look at these two brothers, and you've got one brother who, like his father, is a drunk, just hasn't done anything with his life, and is basically repeating the exact same cycle of what he saw during his formative years. You look at the other brother, a leader in the community, well-established business owner, financially free in every sense of the word, and never touched a bottle of liquor throughout the course of his life. You get a journalist to interview both of those individuals and you go, hey, so the drunk brother, like, how did your life turn out like this? He looks at his past and he goes, don't you know who my dad was? Maybe you've not heard about my history. Maybe you don't know the facts of my life. You don't know what I've experienced. You don't know what side of the track that I grew up. If you knew that, like, what other outcome would you have expected for my life? Mm-hmm. The same brother who is wealthy, established, a leader, asked the exact same question. His response, did you see my past? Do you know anything about my dad? Do you know the circumstances under which I grew up? Do you know what the facts of my life dictated? Do you know what I saw growing up? After having been through all of those things, how would you expect me to become nothing but a success given what I had seen growing up? Exact same set of circumstances. What's the difference between the two?
Mindset,
right?
No, definitely. And Ike, in a recent blog on your website, I mean, you wrote about the three money mistakes that are keeping people broke. And I wanted you to, you know, to just quickly touch on that, you know, as we go in the podcast. You mentioned what one is the catching the shiny object, two is falling from the sunk cost fallacy, and three, too money pinching. So could you just quickly, you know, explain this to our listeners?
And do you think COVID has changed any of those three things? I mean, do you think it's the same three problems, or do you think maybe COVID has
changed? Yeah, I mean, I think those problems continue to kind of reverberate. They may take on a different character, right? They may show up a little differently in our lives, but the impact in terms of how they create a scarcity mentality doesn't change, right? If you feel like there's limited supply of money, limited supply of resources, you're going to continually perpetuate that notion that you've got this limited supply. It's going to drive your actions. It's going to drive your behaviors. It's going to drive your perception of what COVID is doing right now. Everybody is in clampdown mode. Mm-hmm. History shows that it's in moments like these where phenomenal wealth is created. Like for the last week or so, I've been harping on this whole idea of being a problem converter or a problem solver. We've got some huge problems that we're facing as a nation, whether it's on the racial side, whether it's on the financial side, whether it's on the economic side. And if you simply buy into the headline that these are unprecedented times, because the only meaning to unprecedented is the fact that we've got 40 plus million people who are employed. We have Blockbuster and we have Starbucks and all these companies that are going out of business. Then you're calibrating your mind and the greatest asset that you have to replicate that belief that is forming a foundation as to what you believe is possible.
Mm-hmm. But it creates an atmosphere of despair, I think, you know.
Yeah, it creates, you're stuck in what I would call a hopeless mindset, right?
Right.
Because you've got fear and negative emotions that are driving the ability to act, right? Your behaviors, your actions, your attitudes, your perception about life. And once that energy current flows through you that's flowing out of fear-based, you're going to create results that are consistent with that. We're always using our imagination. That's the thing I don't get about people, right? I mean, you think about faith versus fear. Fear is simply looking at your present circumstances and going, wow, COVID just hit. The headlines say 40 million people are unemployed. Am I going to be the next one? And you're projecting into the future an experience and an existence that only exists within your mind. The same person could look at those exact same circumstances and go, wow, there are businesses that are disappearing. That means that there are less businesses to serve the needs of people out there.
More customers.
There's incredible more market share that I could actually gain.
Exactly.
Of course.
And when you start tapping into the possibility of what if or what's possible, you now do something that even Google can't replicate, which is get you the specific answers that you need to completely take advantage of the circumstances that are before you.
No, definitely. And I, if you can give our audience, right, like three specific things that companies can do right now while we reopen to help their business.
Yeah, so I mean, one, you've got to get clear about what your unique value proposition is to the marketplace. You've got to create what I would call a market dominating position. Because if you're showing up anywhere, whether online, in person, in conversations, and somebody asks you what you do and you go, oh, I'm a CPA, oh, I'm a coach, oh, I'm a realtor. What you've just done is you've allowed their mind to be lazy. You've allowed them to place you in a box that says, oh, I already know what a CPA does.
Yeah.
I already know what a realtor does.
Right.
You've got nothing to offer me.
Right.
But if you show up and you say, listen, what I do is I help businesses add $100,000 in revenues and profits that are hidden in their business right now. As a matter of fact, I'm so confident that I can do that, that I offer a 10K challenge. Geico says spend 15 minutes and you'll save 15% or more. Well, I guarantee that if you spend an hour with me, I'll uncover at least $10,000 or more in profits and revenues in your business. And if I don't, I'll pay you $100.
That's a good one.
Sounds like a coach or a business growth strategist, but if I just said I'm a coach and I'm a business growth strategist, what do? You put me in a box and go, okay, great. You move on.
Yeah, I prefer the former 1 minute. That's a much better elevator speech.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So having clarity on our unique value proposition and being able to give voice to that, really, really huge. Two, being able to determine, like, where are you going to take that show on the road? Like, I tell people all the time that if you're suffering from a lack of leads or a lack of business, it's because one, you don't know your purpose. You don't know what you're doing here. You don't know why you're taking up space on earth. Life only begins until after you've identified your purpose. And the reason why I know this to be true is because show me somebody who knows their purpose and I show you somebody who's about to just create havoc in the marketplace, who's about to gain market share, who's about to do something incredible. It's no different than if you've ever watched, not even watched, but if you've ever seen a group of women go watch a show, doesn't matter who it is, their favorite actor, maybe it's Denzel Washington, maybe it's Keanu Reeves, and they come out of that show, they are so hyped. They are so pumped. It's like anybody they see, they want to tell you to go see that show. It may not necessarily be about the show as it is about the actor in the show, but the point is they literally become a personal evangelist for that show. Mm-hmm. And they convince anybody that they're in conversation with that you need to go see that show. Well, once you identify what your purpose is, you kind of become a personal evangelist for the very thing that you were created to do. And you have such belief in that thing so much so that if you don't give voice to it, if you don't share it with people, you feel like it's an undue disservice to humanity. And so once you've got clarity on your purpose and you give voice to that, and you do it in a way that subconsciously incepts the minds of those that you're speaking to, you will attract opportunities to serve clients to you, literally like bees to honey. So that's the second thing that they need to do. Third thing, is you need to figure out where you're going to be visible. Where are you going to take your show on the road? You don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to go pay Facebook. You don't have to do a lot of the different things that a lot of marketing gurus out there recommend that you do. You can attend every networking group within a 15-mile radius of your home or your business. And when you've got a clearly defined value proposition, once you've established a market dominating position where you communicate what you do, not as a coach or a CPA or as a realtor, but as somebody who is unique, where you're creating an apples to an oranges comparison, where they go, okay, I've never met a realtor that does that. I've never met a CPA that does that. You will be run over with opportunities. Another place to do that and do that really, really effectively without having to spend any money on marketing or advertising is LinkedIn. If you look at the logo on LinkedIn, it says it's on this platform is where you get to connect to opportunity. Mm-hmm. Vice President of Virgin America said, she actually wrote a book called Your Network is Your Net Worth. Yeah. You've heard the saying, yeah. You are the sum total of the five people that you are most connected to. That's right. Jim Rohn. My friend and mentor, John Maxwell, says, if you look at the history of our nation or nations at large, we have traversed a bunch of different ages. We went from the age called the agricultural age to the industrial age to the technology age to the informational age. And he says, today, we are in the most influential age of them all. He calls it the age of association. And here's what he says. Never in the history of mankind has your success in life and in business been more intricately connected to those that you know and your connection to them. So I don't know if you're hearing what I'm hearing.
That's great.
You've got all these greats out there telling you about the impact of relationships and connections and who you know. And LinkedIn itself is telling you that it's on our platform is where you connect to opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. LinkedIn is where all the CEOs are, right? The head of business. You know, you want to play there.
You can get access to literally anybody in the world by one, understanding human behavior, how to create the speed of trust in your connections and your communications, and how to establish relational currency with people that sets you up to be in a position to make a major difference and impact in their life through what you do. So that's part of what I teach my clients.
Well said. And I, these are, you know, excellent, you know, pointers, you know, and, you know, we really enjoyed speaking with you. And I just want you to tell our listeners, you know, how can they get a hold of you? Someone is listening and they're like, you know, I want to talk to Ike immediately.
Yeah. So a lot of people are interested about what I do. I consistently share my story of how I went from broke, busted, and disgusted literally 2 years ago at the end of 2018 with income below the poverty line with no assets to speak of to in less than 12 months building a six-figure business, and I'm quickly tracking to seven figures without building a big email list, without starting my own podcast, without doing an online funnel, without making Facebook and all the other tech giants out there rich by spending money on advertising. And so they want to get into the tactics and strategies of how I got there, which obviously makes sense. What I tell everybody who's interested in working with me, before you ever do, you've got to get past phase one of my three phases of success, which is creating a limitless mindset. Because like I said early on, you can have the best strategies and the best tactics, but if the stuff that's going on between your ears isn't where it needs to be, you will self-sabotage any wealth or any growth that you're trying to create for yourself. And so to that end, I'd invite your listeners to visit my website at thelimitlessliving.com. And there's an incredible offer there with just tons of resources to help each and every one who is on the journey to becoming who they were uniquely destined to be, break every invisible boundary that stands in their way of getting there. So the Limitless Living, THELIMITLESS, living, LIBING.com is where they can go to get access to that program.
Excellent.
Perfect, Ike. And thank you so much, sir, for jumping in and speaking with us. We thoroughly enjoyed it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
Be safe out there.
Will do. You guys do the same.
All right. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Please visit our website at yourcompanyhealth.com. Also, you can listen to us on your favorite podcast platforms. Follow us on social media at Your Company Health. And lastly, subscribe to our YouTube channel for new episodes and highlights. Until next time, stay safe.